Hello. This is a recording of a talk given on Sunday, the 1st of May 2022, from Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, through to chapter 7, verse 24. If you have a Bible in front of you, please do turn that passage up. If not, why not pop onto Bible Gateway, have a little read of the Noah narrative, and then we will look at it together. Dear Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible, and thank you for what it teaches. Please help us to listen to what you're saying in this passage and put it into practice. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, going back a few years, I remember a moment when Hannah, I think, was about 2 years old, my daughter, Jacob, my son, was 6 months old, and we were on holiday in South Devon. And as you often do on these sort of holidays, we decided to spend the day at a farm park. I don't know if you're familiar with these sort of places, they're sort of all over the country. And basically there's a chance for a young children to spend time with animals, and usually there's sort of soft play and a play area is outside for them to get involved in as well. Anyway, we're at this farm in South Devon. And I remember it had a sort of Noah's Ark play barn. We visited the animals. Anyway, it came to a point where it was time for a drink. And we were in this coffee shop. There's Tracy and I probably having a much needed cup of coffee. Hannah was probably having a juice drink. And Jacob was probably being breastfed. And anyway, we were sitting there. And it had a sort of Noah's Ark theme, if I remember rightly. But on the side of the wall was this sentence: God remembered Noah. And something jumps out to you, because it's not the sort of normal thing you see written on a random farm park's wall of their cafe. Yes, there might have been something about the animals or going in two by two, but the words "God remembered Noah." I later found out that the farm that we went to was run by Christians, and they obviously knew the story of Noah very well, because right at the heart of the Noah story is that verse. Have a look with me at chapter 8, verse 1, just the verse after our reading today. But God remembered Noah. In Hebrew literature like this, they often have what is called a chiastic structure, and in that the most important idea is right at the middle of the story. And the most important idea in the story of Noah, it comes at the middle, as the flood has come, before it starts to go back down again, where we learn that God remembered Noah. And it's a reminder that the story of Noah is ultimately not about the animals. It's a bit about us, but primarily it's about God and his grace and kindness to Noah. And it teaches of God's grace and kindness to us. Now, before we look at the first half of this story in some detail, let me remind us of our context. We are in the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis is divided up into sections, and it's got little sort of heading titles that introduce each section. And our section begins at the beginning of our passage, chapter 6, verse 9. This is the account of Noah and his family. But what's happened so far? Well, we learned at the beginning of the book that God made a good and perfect world. Humans were made in God's image to live and dwell in his presence. But humans decided to turn their backs on God, reject his rule as our loving creator. And the result is a broken relationship with God, broken relationships with each other, and a broken relationship with creation. Adam and Eve are thrown out of the good garden. Relationships between humans break down as Cain murders Abel, and death becomes a reality in the world. We see in these chapters a spiral of decline, so that by chapter 6, verse 5, God can say this: the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all of the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. We see God's response to this spiral of decline. It's grief, because God hates wickedness, he hates sin, he hates rebellious human beings, and he grieves when they act like that. We also see judgment, because God punishes wickedness because he's a God of justice. But ultimately, it's also a story of grace, because God does come and show grace to Noah. And with that in mind, we begin our passage. And the first thing I want us to see is this. Noah walked faithfully with God. That is the very first thing we get told about Noah. We get told Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Similar language is used of Enoch in chapter 5. We know that Noah is not a perfect man. We see that later in chapter 9. But he is a man who trusted and walked with God. What does it look like to be someone who walks with God? Well, I think we see that in two repeated phrases about Noah. Chapter 6, verse 22. Noah is given instructions about this ark. And verse 22, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Noah is given instructions about the animals. And chapter 7, verse 5. And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. What does it look like, according to this passage, to walk faithfully with God? It looks like someone who listens to and is obedient to God's word. God, as he comes in judgment on the earth for its wickedness, gives Noah very clear instructions. God said to Noah, he told Noah what was going to happen and what Noah needs to do to be saved. And Noah hears what God says and puts it into action. We're just reflecting on these building instructions. The ark is to be made of cypress wood. It's to be coated with pitch inside and out. It's to be 300 cubits high, 50 cubits wide and 30 cubits high. That's far bigger than the St. Matthew's building. It's got a door in the side and a lower, middle and upper deck. And God is very clear why they need the ark, because verse 17, he says this: I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish. So God is very clear. He is going to come in judgment on human wickedness and rebellion. But he makes a way for Noah to be saved. Noah is also given instructions about the animals, a two of all living creatures, male and female, food for the animals, and seven pairs of the clean animals. And then 7 verse 10, all the floodwaters begin to come. At this point, I just want to stop and observe the contrast between Adam and Noah. See, Adam was in the good garden, but when he heard God's word, he doubted it and disobeyed it. Noah, by contrast here, hears what God says and puts it into practice. It's this aspect of Noah's character that is picked up in the New Testament writers. The writer to the Hebrews said that by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. Noah heard God's word and put it into practice. Jesus expresses a similar idea in the Sermon on the Mount when he says that the wise builder builds his house on the rock, and that person is the one who hears God's word and puts it into practice. Noah, when faced with the coming judgment, heard God's word and put it into practice. And the text calls us to do the same. Jesus himself also refers to this passage in Luke 17. He compares the coming of the flood in Noah's day to what will happen when he returns and brings judgment. Luke 17, verse 26. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. The question, therefore, I want us to ask is, will we walk faithfully with God as we wait for Jesus' return? See, the Bible says we too are waiting for a day of judgment, a day when God will call each one of us to account. Will we, as we wait for that day, walk faithfully with God like Noah did? Will we hear God's word in the Bible and put it into practice? Now, we don't get told in the text how the people reacted to Noah and his obedience. My guess is that some might have mocked Noah for building an ark in a very dry country. Some may have mocked him for collecting animals 2 by 2 or 7 by 7. But in spite of that, Noah heard God's word and put it into practice. And so the question comes for us, as we wait for Jesus' return, as we wait for that day of judgment, how will we live? And that will look different at different ages and stages of life. If you're here and you're in your teens, living for Jesus will mean lifestyle decisions about what we watch on our phones, how we relate to our parents and our teachers, which may be very different to the world around us. Some people may mock us. Some people might think it's very foolish. But they make sense if you remember the judgment to come. For those of us working, there'll be questions of balancing work and church. There'll be questions of integrity and honesty. Will we be obedient to the Bible, knowing that one day Jesus will come back? For parents, there will be questions of what we desire and want for our children. Is our greatest desire for them is to know and love Jesus, the rescue he offers from judgment? Well, we'll prioritise different things to other families. For others of us, it will be the challenge of time. Being obedient to the call of the Bible will mean we stand out amongst our friends and family by wanting to spend time serving Jesus, knowing that one day he will return. Or maybe it's the challenge of money and how we spend it. See, if we know Jesus is coming back, we won't be building treasures on this earth. We'll build treasures in heaven instead. Noah walked faithfully with God. He listened to and is obedient to God's word. And it asks us the question, will we walk faithfully with God as we wait for Jesus to return? But that's not the only thing our text teaches. The second thing I want us to see is that God rescued Noah from judgment. Let's pick it up, chapter 7 and verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heavens were opened, and rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. See, all that God said came true. And judgment comes. And the picture is the judgment's coming from above and from below with these waters. And verse 21, every living thing that moved on land perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swarm over the earth and all mankind. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. People and animals and the creatures that move along the ground, and the birds were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left, and those with him in the ark. Having seen God create earlier on in the book of Genesis, we now watch an act of decreation as God judges the world. There's no joy to be found in judgment, but it is real
and it will come. One day, Jesus will return and judge the world, just as God did in Noah's day. But the good news is, there's hope. And hope comes to Noah. Noah, a man who walked faithfully with God, made the ark and got in the ark with his family and the animals. See, God rescued Noah from the judgment. There's one verse I want you to have a look at, 7 verse 16. The animals were going in were male and female of every living thing as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord shut him in. Just before the judgment comes and the floods come up, God shuts Noah in the ark. God rescues Noah from judgment. God keeps Noah safe. And friends, there is only one way for us to be safe in the judgment to come. And that is when, as we trust the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible says that one day he will return and judge. But the Bible says if we believe and trust in Jesus, we will be forgiven. We will be safe on that final day. If we are trusting in Jesus Christ, we do not fear judgment. Christ has come. He died and rose again. He conquered death and will keep us safe. God rescued Noah from judgment, and God rescued us in Christ. So as we leave from here today, can I encourage you, trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your trust in him because he will keep you safe on that final judgment day. And he can keep you safe because he died in your place at the cross. And he's risen again to give us hope. And if you're listening to this and you're trusting the Lord Jesus, as you respond to him, why not follow the example of Noah, who man who walked faithfully with God, who heard God's word and put it into practice. May we be those who do the same. Amen.